U.S. approves $16.5 billion arms deal to Gulf states amid rising Iran tensions. Executive summary on March 19, 2026, the U.S. State Department approved a $16.5 billion emergency arms package to the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and Jordan, a transaction notable not for its scale, which is substantial, but for what it reveals about America's rapidly deteriorating strategic position in the Middle East. The sale, justified by Secretary of State Marco Rubio as meeting an unspecified emergency, bypasses standard congressional review, and comes as the Pentagon simultaneously requests an unprecedented $200 billion in supplemental funding for a three-week-old war that President Donald Trump claims is already militarily won. This juxtaposition exposes a fundamental contradiction at the heart of American strategy. The United States is arming regional partners to defend against threats it ostensibly controls, while burning through capital, financial, military, and diplomatic, at rates that suggest not dominance but desperation. The Plaquemines assessment is stark. This arms deal represents not the projection of American power but its diffusion, a tacit admission that Washington can no longer guarantee the security architecture it built, and must now outsource deterrence to clients whose interests increasingly diverge from its own. The second-order effects will reshape alliance structures, accelerate regional proliferation dynamics, and create conditions for proxy competition that Washington is ill-equipped to manage. Markets are already pricing in this reality. Defense stocks declined on the announcement despite record order books, signaling investor skepticism about execution risk and escalation exposure. Situation report. The March 19 arms package allocates $8.4 billion to the United Arab Emirates for drones, missiles, radar systems, and F-16 aircraft, approximately $8 billion to Kuwait for air and missile defense radar systems, and $70.5 million to Jordan for aircraft and munition support. The State Department invoked emergency authority under Section 36B of the Arms Export Control Act, with Secretary Rubio certifying that an emergency exists that requires the immediate sale, thereby circumventing the standard 30-day congressional notification period. The transaction identifies RTX Corporation, Northrop Grumman, and Lockheed Martin as principal contractors. Paradoxically, all three companies' stock prices declined on the announcement. Lockheed Martin fell 0.65%, RTX dropped 1.3%, and Northrop Grumman decreased 0.8% in midday trading. This negative market response to what would normally constitute a significant revenue event suggests institutional investors are factoring in execution risk, geopolitical volatility, or concerns about payment reliability given regional instability. The arms deal emerges against the backdrop of Operation Epic Fury, the joint U.S.-Israeli assault on Iran that commenced February 28, 2026. The operation has eliminated significant portions of Iran's senior leadership, including Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, degraded its ballistic missile stockpiles, and destroyed most of its naval capability. Yet 3 weeks into the conflict, Iran maintains its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, through which roughly 20% of global oil and liquefied natural gas flows, 1.4. This blockade has driven U.S. gasoline prices from $3.10 per gallon on February 19 to $3.88 per gallon by March 19, a 25% increase in 1 month. European natural gas prices are projected to increase 40% according to HSBC analysis. The military operations costs have escalated dramatically beyond initial projections. The Pentagon reported that the first 6 days alone cost American taxpayers $11.3 billion. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has now requested $200 billion in supplemental funding exclusively for the Iran operation, nearly one quarter of the United States' record $1 trillion-plus annual defense budget, 1.2. This figure exceeds the $188 billion in military aid the United States has provided to Ukraine over more than 4 years since Russia's 2022 invasion. During a March 19 press conference, when questioned about the $200 billion figure, Hegseth stated, "Obviously, it takes money to kill bad guys. As far as the $200 billion, I think that number could move." President Trump has characterized the conflict in contradictory terms. On March 21, he posted on social media that the U.S. has militarily won the war, while simultaneously noting the administration is considering winding down the military operation. Yet he has not ruled out ground troop deployment and is reportedly giving serious consideration to occupying Iran's Karg Island, which handles 90% of Iran's crude oil exports. The Strait of Hormuz crisis alone has increased U.S. gasoline prices by 25% in 1 month, demonstrating Iran's capacity to impose economic costs despite catastrophic military losses, an asymmetric capability that undermines the meaning of victory. Strategic context: the paradox of arsenal diplomacy in an age of strategic competition. The March 2026 arms package represents the latest iteration of a distinctly American approach to alliance management. Arsenal diplomacy, the practice of cementing relationships and influencing partner behavior through weapon sales. This model traces its modern lineage to the Nixon Doctrine of 1969, which sought to reduce direct U.S. military commitments by building up allied forces as regional proxies. The doctrine emerged from the failures in Vietnam and sought to maintain American influence while reducing the domestic political costs of intervention. The contemporary Middle Eastern security architecture rests on this foundation. Following Britain's 1971 withdrawal from east of Suez, the United States became the principal external guarantor of Gulf security. The Carter Doctrine of 1980, articulated in response to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the Iranian Revolution, declared the Persian Gulf a zone of vital American interest and committed the United States to using military force to maintain access. This commitment produced a massive arms transfer infrastructure. Between 1950 and 2020, the United States sold over $300 billion in weapons to Saudi Arabia alone, making it America's largest customer. Yet the current moment differs fundamentally from the Cold War model in three critical respects. First, the threat profile has inverted. During the Cold War, arms transfers to Gulf states primarily defended against external threats, Soviet penetration, Iraqi expansionism under Saddam Hussein, the spillover of the Iran-Iraq War. Today's threat landscape is more complex. Iran projects power through non-state proxies, cyber capabilities, and asymmetric naval tactics rather than conventional military formations. The defensive systems the U.S. is now selling, air defense radars, missile interceptors, are optimized for the threat profile of the 1990s, not 2026. Second, the geopolitical context has shifted decisively. The U.S. is no longer the sole external power with substantial influence in the Gulf. China has emerged as the region's largest trading partner and energy customer. In 2023, China brokered the surprise Saudi-Iranian rapprochement, demonstrating diplomatic capabilities Washington once monopolized. As Yang Xiaotong noted in her analysis for Al Jazeera, China's muted response to Operation Epic Fury, despite Iran being a comprehensive strategic partner, revealed Beijing's calculated prioritization of securing Trump's concessions on Taiwan over defending distant allies. This represents a fundamental shift. When China faced a choice between competing commitments, it chose accommodation with Washington over confrontation on Iran. The implication is that the post-Cold War unipolar moment has definitively ended, but the multipolar system replacing it offers not balance but fragmentation. Third, and most significantly, the economic logic has inverted. During the 1970s and 1980s, arms sales to Gulf states generated revenue for U.S. defense contractors while Gulf petrodollars recycled back into U.S. Treasury securities and American investments. The arrangement was mutually beneficial. The Gulf states received security guarantees and advanced weaponry, while the U.S. maintained a positive capital account despite running trade deficits. Today, the $16.5 billion arms package must compete for congressional appropriation alongside a $200 billion war supplemental request. The U.S. is simultaneously selling weapons to Gulf partners and requesting they increase defense spending, while American taxpayers fund a war ostensibly fought to protect those same partners. This is not a sustainable business model. It is a Ponzi scheme in strategic form. The current situation invites comparison to the British Empire's interwar dilemma. By the 1930s, Britain maintained global commitments, protecting sea lanes, defending colonial territories, guaranteeing European security, that exceeded its economic and military capacity. When tested simultaneously in Europe, the Mediterranean, and Asia, the system collapsed. The United States in 2026 faces an analogous challenge. Commitments in Europe, Ukraine, the Indo-Pacific, Taiwan contingency planning, and the Middle East, Iran, that collectively exceed available resources. The March 2026 arms deal is not evidence of American strength but of strategic overextension. Washington is deputizing regional partners to fill capability gaps it can no longer cover directly. The historical precedent is instructive. During the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, European powers exploited the vacuum through a combination of direct intervention and arms sales to local proxies. The result was not stability but decades of conflict as newly armed actors pursued divergent interests. The Middle East's contemporary borders, alliances, and enmities trace directly to this period. The current American approach, massive arms sales to partners with limited coordination mechanisms and diverging interests, risks reproducing this dynamic at a far more dangerous technological level. Actor analysis, incentives, constraints, and the domestic politics of escalation. Donald Trump entered his second presidential term in January 2025 facing significant domestic political challenges. His administration's signature legislative achievement, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act of July 2025, included $150 billion in additional defense spending, bringing total military appropriations above $1 trillion annually for the first time. Yet by early 2026, his approval ratings remained soft, constrained by persistent inflation and economic anxiety. The decision to launch Operation Epic Fury on February 28 appears driven by multiple, potentially contradictory motivations. Trump has consistently portrayed the Iran operation as a brief, decisive action, what he termed an excursion. This framing suggests a desire for the political benefits of perceived military success without the long-term costs of occupation or nation-building, commitments Trump consistently opposed during his first term. Yet the $200 billion supplemental request contradicts this narrative. For context, the Congressional Research Service calculated that the Iraq War cost $815 billion over 13 years. The Pentagon is requesting one quarter of that total for an operation Trump claims is essentially over. The arithmetic implies either an extended commitment or extraordinary waste. Trump's March 21 statement that the war is militarily won while simultaneously considering winding down operations reveals the core contradiction. The military objectives, degrading Iran's conventional capabilities, are largely achieved. The political objectives, reopening the Strait of Hormuz, ensuring regime change, preventing Iranian retaliation against U.S. interests, remain unfulfilled. This gap between military success and political resolution recalls the 2003 invasion of Iraq, where conventional military victory preceded a decade of counterinsurgency failure. Trump's threats to coward NATO allies who declined to send warships to reopen the Strait of Hormuz demonstrates the limits of his transactional alliance approach. European states and Japan issued statements supporting appropriate efforts to reopen the strait but notably avoided military commitments. This reflects European calculation that the U.S. initiated the conflict without consultation and they have no obligation to participate in what they view as a war of choice. Trump's public criticism may satisfy domestic audiences but further erodes the alliance coordination mechanisms that make American power sustainable. Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, lacks conventional qualifications for the role. His military experience consists of service in the Army National Guard, including deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, but he held no strategic planning roles. He gained prominence as a Fox News commentator rather than through defense policy expertise. His March 19 statement, "Obviously, it takes money to kill bad guys," reveals either genuine naivete about the strategic complexity of the Iran challenge or calculated messaging designed to simplify the conflict for domestic audiences. The $200 billion request he is forwarding represents poor strategic planning. Such sums should emerge from operational requirements, not round numbers selected for political impact. Marco Rubio, as Secretary of State, certified the emergency justification for bypassing congressional review of the $16.5 billion arms sale. This decision carries significant implications. The Arms Export Control Act's emergency provision exists for genuine crises where delay threatens vital interests, not for routine transactions with longtime partners. By invoking emergency authority for sales to states not currently under direct attack, Rubio sets a precedent that future administrations will exploit. The erosion of congressional oversight over arms sales weakens one of the few remaining institutional constraints on executive branch autonomy in national security affairs. The Gulf recipients, the UAE, Kuwait, and Jordan, each face distinct threat profiles and pursue divergent strategic objectives. The UAE has emerged as a regional power projector in its own right, conducting operations in Yemen, Libya, and Sudan. Abu Dhabi's $8.4 billion share of the arms package will enhance capabilities it may use for purposes Washington doesn't control or even endorse. This represents a classic principal-agent problem in alliance politics. The patron provides capabilities to serve shared objectives, but the client uses those capabilities to pursue independent interests. Kuwait's $8 billion allocation for air and missile defense systems reflects its geographic vulnerability, positioned between Iraq, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. Kuwait's 1990 invasion by Iraq and subsequent liberation by a U.S.-led coalition shaped its security policy around maintaining American protection. Yet Kuwait has also maintained diplomatic relations with Iran and has not joined the Abraham Accords normalizing relations with Israel. Its incentive is to acquire defensive capabilities without fully aligning with Washington's regional strategy, a hedge that the current crisis exposes as increasingly untenable. Jordan's relatively modest $70.5 million allocation reflects its limited resources and primarily defensive posture. The Hashemite Kingdom faces internal challenges from a Palestinian majority population and external pressures from Israeli settlement expansion and Syrian instability. Jordan values its American security partnership but cannot afford to appear complicit in what much of its population views as American aggression against a Muslim state. King Abdullah II's challenge is acquiring necessary military capabilities without triggering domestic legitimacy crises. Scenario analysis, pathways to resolution, escalation, or stalemate. Scenario 1, coerced reopening and frozen conflict, probability, 40%. In this scenario, the United States deploys additional naval and marine forces to forcibly reopen the Strait of Hormuz over the next 4 to 6 weeks. American and potentially allied minesweepers clear Iranian naval mines, carrier battle groups establish air superiority, and convoy escort systems resume commercial traffic. Iran, its conventional military capabilities largely destroyed, lacks the means to effectively contest this operation. Tehran responds with episodic missile and drone attacks on Gulf infrastructure, Saudi and Emirati oil facilities, desalination plants, power grids, using remaining stockpiles and reconstituted production. The conflict settles into a frozen state. The strait reopens partially, reducing but not eliminating energy price spikes. Oil prices stabilize around $110 to $120 per barrel, well above the $75 to $80 range of early February 26 but below the $150-plus peaks reached during the initial blockade. The Iranian regime survives, weakened but intact, while the U.S. maintains an enhanced military presence at costs of $10 to $15 billion monthly. Trump declares victory and begins drawing down forces by late 2026, leaving a residual counterterrorism and maritime security presence. Triggers: Trump faces mounting domestic pressure over gas prices as the 2026 midterm elections approach in November. Congressional Republicans, initially supportive of the Iran operation, grow concerned about the political costs of sustained combat operations and economic disruption. The administration decides a partial resolution is preferable to indefinite engagement. Market implications: defense stocks rally modestly as long-term support contracts are secured. Energy sector volatility persists but gradually declines. Emerging market currencies stabilize as oil price uncertainty recedes. Regional Gulf equity markets remain depressed due to physical security risks. Risks: this scenario requires Iranian restraint, not launching attacks severe enough to provoke renewed escalation. It also requires Trump accepting an ambiguous outcome rather than the decisive victory he promised. Historically, frozen conflicts tend to reignite when domestic political pressures or leadership transitions alter calculations. Scenario 2. Regime collapse and regional fragmentation. Probability, 25%. In this scenario, the combination of military defeat, economic sanctions, energy export collapse, and internal discontent triggers the Islamic Republic's disintegration over 6 to 18 months. Military losses delegitimize the regime. The assassination of Supreme Leader Khamenei creates a succession crisis the system cannot resolve. Protests erupt in Tehran, Tabriz, Isfahan, and other major cities. Security forces fragment along ethnic and factional lines. Iran's periphery, Baluchistan, Khuzestan, Kurdistan, experiences separatist mobilization. The United States faces the question that plagued Iraq planners in 2003: what comes next? Unlike Iraq, Iran is a nation of 85 million with complex ethnic divisions and a sophisticated society. No unified opposition exists that Washington can empower. Regional powers move to fill the vacuum. Turkey supports Azeri populations in Iran's northwest, Arab Gulf states back Awazi Arabs in oil-rich Khuzestan, Pakistan and China compete for influence in Baluchistan to protect the China-Pakistan economic corridor. Triggers: economic collapse accelerates as Iran's oil exports, which generated approximately $50 billion annually before the conflict, drop to near zero. The rial becomes worthless. State capacity to pay security forces and deliver basic services evaporates. Junior officers refuse orders to fire on protesters. A critical mass of the bureaucracy and Revolutionary Guard Corps concludes the regime is unsustainable. Market implications: initial market chaos as Iranian collapse creates vacuum and uncertainty. Defense stocks surge on expectations of extended stabilization operations. Reconstruction and security contracting opportunities emerge, though fraught with risk. Oil prices spike initially due to uncertainty, then decline as the Iranian threat to Gulf infrastructure recedes and potential new production eventually comes online under different governance. Risks: this scenario could produce outcomes far worse than the current regime. An Iranian Syria, fractured among competing warlords, militias, and foreign sponsors, would destabilize the entire region. Weapons proliferation, refugee flows, and the potential for Iranian nuclear materials to fall into uncontrolled hands represent catastrophic risks. American forces would face pressure to deploy ground troops for stabilization, repeating the Iraq experience at far greater scale. Scenario 3: negotiated settlement and strategic realignment. Probability, 20%. In this scenario, All parties recognize the unsustainability of current trajectories and pursue a negotiated off-ramp over the next 2 to 4 months. China, motivated by protecting energy supplies and preventing regional chaos that could threaten Belt and Road investments, offers to mediate. Tehran signals willingness to reopen the Strait of Hormuz in exchange for sanctions relief and security guarantees. The Trump administration, facing $200 billion appropriations battles in Congress and recognition that military success has not translated to strategic gains, accepts. The outline of a deal emerges. Iran reopens the strait and accepts intrusive inspections of its remaining nuclear facilities in exchange for phased sanctions relief. The U.S. commits to withdrawing forces from Iraq and Syria, reducing its military footprint to pre-conflict levels. Gulf states, including Saudi Arabia and the UAE, establish formal diplomatic relations with Iran, creating multilateral security dialogue mechanisms. China provides economic support for Iranian reconstruction, expanding its regional influence. Triggers. Trump recognizes that an indefinite commitment risks Republican losses in the 2026 midterms. Business constituencies pressure the administration to stabilize energy markets. European allies, excluded from the initial operation, offer diplomatic support and sanctions relief as leverage to gain inclusion in the settlement. Iran's surviving leadership concludes that continued resistance will produce regime collapse without achieving strategic objectives. Market implications. Dramatic positive market response to reduce geopolitical risk. Oil prices decline toward $75 to $80 per barrel. Defense stocks decline as investors price in reduced military spending. Chinese infrastructure and energy companies position for Iranian reconstruction contracts. Regional equity markets rally on reduced conflict risk. Risks. This scenario requires Trump to accept an outcome that his political opponents will characterize as defeat after enormous costs. The surviving Iranian regime would claim victory for forcing American withdrawal. Regional partners, especially Israel and Saudi Arabia, would view a settlement as betrayal, potentially leading them to pursue independent action, including potential Israeli strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities. Scenario 4. Escalation to great power confrontation. Probability 15%. This represents the tail risk that strategic miscalculation or accident produces direct U.S.-China confrontation. In this scenario, Chinese economic interests and the Gulf and Belt and Road connectivity requirements override caution. Beijing concludes that American success in forcibly restructuring Middle Eastern security arrangements sets a precedent for potential Taiwan scenarios and cannot be permitted. China begins supplying Iran with advanced air defense systems, anti-ship missiles, and intelligence support, covertly at first and then openly. A U.S. strike inadvertently kills Chinese advisors or damages Chinese-operated facilities. Alternatively, the U.S. imposes secondary sanctions on Chinese entities supporting Iran, triggering Chinese retaliation through tariffs or restrictions on rare earth exports. Military incidents in the South China Sea occur simultaneously with the Iran conflict, creating two front pressures. The situation spirals toward a confrontation neither side intended, but both struggle to de-escalate. Triggers. China's assessment of U.S. intentions shifts from viewing the Iran operation as a limited Middle Eastern contingency to seeing it as proof of American willingness to use military force to maintain hegemony even at enormous cost. Xi Jinping concludes that accommodating Trump on Iran encourages rather than prevents pressure on Taiwan. Internal Chinese Communist Party politics create incentives for nationalist posturing. Market implications. Catastrophic across all asset classes. Global equity markets enter bear territory. Safe haven flows into U.S. treasuries, Swiss francs, and gold. Supply chain disruption extends beyond energy to manufacturing inputs, semiconductors, and consumer goods. The global trading system faces potential breakdown as U.S.-China economic interdependence unravels. Risks. This scenario, while lowest probability, carries highest consequences. It represents the pathway to great power war that scholars have warned about since the 2008 financial crisis altered the distribution of economic power. The 1914 analogy, major powers stumbling into catastrophic war through alliance commitments and miscalculation despite economic interdependence, becomes operational. Economic and market implications. The strategic insolvency of hegemonic overextension. The immediate market impact of the $16.5 billion arms sale and $200 billion supplemental request reveals investor skepticism about the sustainability of current American strategy. Defense contractors' stock declines despite record order books signal concerns about three factors: execution risk given the complexity of regional operations, payment risk given fiscal constraints on partner states facing energy market volatility, and political risk that congressional appropriations battles could delay or reduce funding. The energy market impacts extend well beyond headline oil prices. European natural gas prices face projected 40% increases according to HSBC, rippling through industrial production costs, electricity generation, and ultimately consumer prices. Europe's industrial competitiveness indicators were already showing deterioration prior to the crisis. 83% were stagnant or worsening, according to a February 2026 Deloitte report cited by RT. The Iran conflict exacerbates existing structural disadvantages as European manufacturers face higher energy costs than American, which benefits from domestic shale production, or Asian competitors. The fiscal implications for the United States are stark. The $200 billion supplemental request, if approved, would come atop the $150 billion defense increase from the July 2025 One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Combined, these represent approximately $350 billion in defense increases within an eight-month span. For context, USAID's entire budget in its final year of operation, 2024, before dismantling by the Department of Government Efficiency, was $21.7 billion. The $200 billion Iran war request alone would have funded USAID at that level for nearly a decade. Instead, the U.S. is spending $2.5 million per Tomahawk missile, with several hundred expended thus far. Congressional appropriations battles will likely fracture along multiple axes. Fiscal conservatives, already concerned about the federal budget deficit, will resist open-ended commitments. Democrats will highlight the opportunity costs relative to domestic priorities. Republicans from energy-producing states may support the operation due to higher oil prices benefiting domestic producers, while those from manufacturing-heavy states face constituent pressure over gasoline prices. The outcome is uncertain, but the request scale virtually guarantees a contentious debate that will expose divisions within the governing coalition. The regional economic implications are severe. Gulf states face a trilemma: increasing defense spending to address Iranian threats, managing economic volatility from energy market disruptions, and maintaining social spending to prevent domestic unrest. The UAE's $8.4 billion arms purchase commitment occurs as the Federation's budget faces pressures from reduced oil revenue due to production disruptions and decreased shipment through the strait, and increased security costs. Abu Dhabi's substantial sovereign wealth fund provides a buffer most regional states lack, but even Emirati fiscal resilience has limits. The $16.5 billion in arms sales will flow primarily to RTX Corporation, Northrop Grumman, and Lockheed Martin. These firms' order books are full. Supply chain constraints, not demand, limit production. The Missile Defense Agency has noted that replenishing U.S. stockpiles of interceptors and precision munitions depleted in Ukraine and now Iran will require 3 to 5 years at maximum production rates. This creates a strategic vulnerability. The United States is simultaneously selling advanced systems to partners and depleting its own reserves faster than industrial base capacity can replace them. China is observing carefully. Any Taiwan contingency planning must now factor in depleted American stockpiles and a defense industrial base operating at capacity. Currency implications extend beyond the immediate parties. The U.S. dollar typically strengthens during Middle Eastern conflicts as a safe haven asset, and due to oil price increases, oil is globally priced in dollars. However, the scale of fiscal expenditure and mounting federal debt may counteract this tendency. If foreign central banks, particularly China, reduce treasury purchases in response to the conflict, dollar strength could erode even as risk premiums rise, a stagflationary currency profile that would represent a significant departure from historical patterns. Second-order effects: the unraveling of American-led security architecture. The second-order consequences of the March 2026 arms deal and surrounding conflict extend far beyond the immediate military and economic impacts. Several dynamics, once initiated, will prove difficult to reverse. Alliance structure transformation: the U.S. invocation of emergency authority to bypass congressional review for the arms sale, while simultaneously criticizing allies for inadequate support, signals the end of the post-World War II model of institutionalized alliance coordination. NATO members' refusal to send warships to support Strait of Hormuz reopening demonstrates that European states no longer view American military operations as presumptively legitimate alliance commitments. This represents a fundamental shift. During the Cold War, European states accepted American leadership in exchange for security guarantees. Today, they increasingly distinguish between genuine threats to collective security, Russian aggression in Ukraine, and American military operations they view as discretionary, Iran. The Trump administration's response, public criticism rather than consultation, accelerates alliance decoupling. The long-term implication is a move from hierarchical alliance structures to transactional partnerships negotiated operation by operation. Regional proliferation cascade: the $16.5 billion arms package will trigger responsive proliferation throughout the region. Iran, if the regime survives, will prioritize reconstituting missile capabilities and accelerating any remaining nuclear weapons work. Regional states not included in the package, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, will seek their own arrangements. Most significantly, Saudi Arabia, which is not among the recipients despite being Iran's primary regional rival, will likely demand a comparable or larger package. This creates an arms spiral dynamic that increases overall regional military capacity without necessarily improving any individual state's relative security, a classic security dilemma. The Middle East is already the world's largest arms importing region. These dynamics will intensify that pattern. Chinese strategic positioning. China's calculated non-response to Operation Epic Fury, despite Iran's status as a comprehensive strategic partner and critical Belt and Road node, reveals Beijing's current priorities. However, the conflict creates medium-term opportunities for Chinese influence expansion. If a negotiated settlement emerges, China will position itself as mediator and reconstruction financier, translating economic influence into political leverage. If the conflict produces Iranian regime change, China will compete with other external powers to shape whatever governance structure emerges. Either outcome advances Chinese interests in reducing American dominance of Middle Eastern energy supplies and transportation routes. The United States may win the war but lose the peace, with China becoming the primary external beneficiary of a post-conflict order. Energy market restructuring. The Strait of Hormuz crisis accelerates trends already underway toward deglobalized, regionalized energy markets. Europe's acute vulnerability to Middle Eastern disruption will intensify efforts to diversify supply through renewables, nuclear, and non-Middle Eastern hydrocarbons. This represents an irreversible shift. Even after the immediate crisis resolves, European energy policy will reflect lessons learned. For Gulf producers, this means accelerated timeline for energy transition and economic diversification. States that successfully diversify before structural demand decline sets in, the UAE, Saudi Arabia with Vision 2030, may thrive. Those that don't, Iraq, smaller Gulf states, face bleak prospects. The geopolitical implication is that Middle Eastern energy leverage, which has underpinned the region's global importance since the 1970s, faces secular decline over a 15 to 20-year horizon. Defense industrial base implications. The simultaneous drawdown of U.S. munitions stockpiles in Ukraine and Iran, combined with multi-billion-dollar foreign military sales, exposes a strategic vulnerability that peer competitors will exploit. The U.S. defense industrial base, optimized for profitability rather than surge capacity, cannot rapidly scale production. Key systems, Patriot interceptors, Tomahawk missiles, precision-guided munitions, face 3 to 5 year production backlogs. This creates windows of vulnerability during which U.S. forces would enter any major conflict with depleted magazines. China's defense industrial base, by contrast, prioritizes capacity and operates with state subsidies that enable overproduction for strategic stockpiling. In a Taiwan scenario, this asymmetry could prove decisive. The Iran operation may be remembered not for its tactical success but for revealing strategic insolvency. Domestic political realignment. The $200 billion appropriations battle will expose and potentially deepen divisions within American political coalitions. Traditional Republican defense hawks support the operation, but the party's populist, America First faction, energized by Trump in his first term, is skeptical of Middle Eastern military commitments. Democrats face their own tensions between foreign policy internationalists and progressive isolationists. The result may be a realignment in which foreign policy divides cut across rather than between parties, making sustainable grand strategy consensus even more elusive. This has profound implications. Democracies struggle to sustain long-term strategic commitments without domestic consensus. The emerging pattern suggests the United States will lurch between overcommitment and retrenchment based on election cycles rather than maintaining consistent strategic approach. The Plaquemines view, arsenal diplomacy as strategic insolvency. Plaquemines Holdings assessment diverges from consensus analysis in several critical respects. The conventional interpretation of the $16.5 billion arms sale views it as evidence of continued American centrality to Gulf security architecture and defense contractors' healthy order books as proof of sustained demand. We assess this interpretation as fundamentally flawed. Our core thesis, the March 2026 arms package represents not the projection of American power but its diffusion, marking an inflection point in U.S. Middle Eastern hegemony comparable to Britain's 1968 East of Suez withdrawal announcement. The tell is in the details. The emergency authorization, the simultaneous $200 billion supplemental request, the declining defense contractor stock prices despite major sales, and Trump's contradictory declarations of victory while considering escalation. The pattern visible to Plaquemines analysts resembles late-stage imperial overextension. When empires can no longer afford to directly garrison and control peripheries, they resort to arming local clients, This delays but does not prevent the ultimate reckoning. The British did this in the Middle East and South Asia in the 1940s, the Soviets did this in Afghanistan in the 1980s, the Americans did this in Iraq in the 2010s. It never ends well because the fundamental problem is not military capacity but strategic solvency, the gap between commitments and available resources, the arbitrage opportunity. Markets are currently mispricing several dynamics. Defense stocks have declined modestly but remain expensive relative to execution risk. Investors are betting on sustained high defense spending without factoring in the probability of congressional appropriations battles limiting or delaying funding. Plaquemines is positioning for a rotation away from traditional prime contractors towards smaller firms specializing in drone defense, space-based surveillance, and autonomous systems, the technologies that will define the next phase of Middle Eastern conflict rather than the legacy platforms being sold in this package. Energy markets present a more complex picture. The consensus view anticipates gradual normalization as the Strait of Hormuz reopens. Plaquemines' assessment is that structural risk premiums have permanently increased. Even after the immediate crisis resolves, shipping insurance costs, security requirements, and political risk calculations will keep costs elevated. We are long on European renewable energy and U.S. LNG export infrastructure, both of which benefit from persistent Middle Eastern instability driving diversification. The geopolitical trade. Plaquemines is positioning for accelerated Chinese economic influence in the Middle East regardless of conflict outcome. If Iran's regime survives, China will be the primary economic partner for reconstruction. If the regime falls, China will compete for influence in whatever governance structure emerges. Either way, Beijing increases its regional footprint. This creates opportunities in Chinese construction, energy, and infrastructure firms with Middle Eastern exposure, and in Gulf sovereign wealth fund co-investments in Asian markets as they hedge away from dollar assets. The non-obvious play, the biggest opportunity is in Iranian diaspora networks and exile opposition structures. If regime change occurs, whoever Washington, Riyadh, and Tel Aviv anoint as a transitional authority will need international legitimacy, technical expertise, and access to frozen Iranian assets held abroad. The diaspora community, particularly in the United States, United Kingdom, and Canada, will be the only available pool. Plaquemines has been mapping these networks, identifying individuals with technical credentials, political legitimacy, and Western connections. When the moment arrives, these individuals will become extraordinarily valuable as advisors, intermediaries, and potentially officials in a successor government. The model is Iraqi exiles post-2003, but with more sophistication about the pitfalls. Where consensus is wrong, the consensus view holds that U.S. military superiority guarantees desired outcomes. Operation Epic Fury demonstrates the opposite. Overwhelming military success can be strategically irrelevant if it fails to achieve political objectives at acceptable cost. The United States has degraded Iranian conventional capabilities but cannot reopen the strait without escalation, cannot guarantee regime change without occupation, and cannot afford indefinite military presence. This is the definition of strategic failure despite tactical success. Markets have not yet priced in the implications. American security guarantees are becoming less credible, accelerating the hedging behavior already visible among Gulf partners. The Plaquemines assessment: when a hegemon begins outsourcing security provision to clients while simultaneously requesting supplemental appropriations to fund ongoing operations, the system is in late-stage decay. The arithmetic no longer works, only momentum perpetuates the arrangement. We are witnessing the erosion of the American-led Middle Eastern security order in real time, and capital is radically mispriced relative to this reality. Watchlist. Critical indicators for the next 90 days. 1. Congressional appropriations vote on $200 billion supplemental. Expected, April 15 to 30, 2026. Why it matters. This vote will reveal the depth of political support for sustained operations. A reduced appropriation or one hedged with restrictions on ground troop deployment would signal congressional resistance to open-ended commitment. Conversely, rapid approval with minimal debate would indicate Republican unity and willingness to own the political consequences. Watch for amendments limiting funds to specific military operations or imposing timelines. 2. Iranian leadership succession announcement. Timeline: uncertain, potentially March to April 2026. Why it matters. Supreme Leader Khamenei's death created a constitutional crisis the Islamic Republic has never faced. The Assembly of Experts nominally selects a successor, but Revolutionary Guard Corps commanders and intelligence services hold real power. Whether a successor emerges quickly or the process drags on signals regime coherence. A swift succession suggests institutional resilience. Extended uncertainty or competing claims suggest potential fragmentation. Monitor statements from senior clerics, particularly those in COM and IRGC commanders. 3. Chinese Diplomatic Initiative. Watch, late March through April 2026, why it matters. If China decides to mediate as it did with the 2023 Saudi-Iran rapprochement, expect a special envoy announcement and subsequent tour of Gulf capitals and Tehran. This would represent a significant geopolitical development, positioning China as regional power broker. Watch for Wang Yi travel announcements, statements from the Chinese Foreign Ministry, and receptiveness from regional actors. If Gulf states receive a Chinese envoy shortly after receiving American weapons, it signals hedging. 4. European energy price trajectory. Monitor, weekly through May 2026, why it matters. HSBC's projection of 40% natural gas price increases in Europe will stress economies already facing competitiveness challenges. If prices continue rising beyond projected peaks, expect accelerated political pressure on governments and potentially snap elections in vulnerable states. Monitor TTF, Title Transfer Facility, natural gas futures. Statements from major industrial firms about production curtailments and public opinion polling on government approval in Germany, Italy, and other energy-intensive economies. 5. Saudi Arabia arms sale request, expected, April to May 2026. Why it matters, Riyadh will not remain on the sidelines while the UAE receives $8.4 billion in advanced systems. Watch for signals of Saudi Foreign Ministry engagement with Washington on a comparable package. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman faces domestic pressure to demonstrate he can secure advanced weapons, particularly F-35 aircraft that previous U.S. administrations denied. A Saudi request will test Trump's willingness to navigate Israeli opposition and congressional human rights concerns. Approval would signal prioritization of Gulf partnerships over Israeli objections. Denial would signal constraints on Trump's autonomy. 6. Lockheed Martin, RTX, and Northrop Grumman quarterly earnings, expected, late April 26, why it matters. Investor calls will reveal whether defense contractor leadership shares Wall Street skepticism, as evidenced by stock price declines. Listen for commentary on production timelines, supply chain constraints, and government payment reliability. If contractors guide toward extended delivery schedules or flag materials shortages, it confirms that near-term capacity cannot absorb current demand surge. This would validate Plaquemines' thesis that markets are overestimating the defense industrial base's ability to execute. 7. Trump's Mar-a-Lago meeting with Gulf leaders. Probable. April to May 2026. Why it matters. Trump historically conducts significant foreign policy through personal relationships and resort diplomacy. Watch for announcements of visits by UAE, Saudi, or Kuwaiti leaders to Florida properties. These meetings often produce deal announcements, arms sales, investment commitments, or political realignments. Unlike formal Washington summits, Mar-a-Lago meetings occur with minimal staff presence and limited institutional oversight, increasing likelihood of consequential personal commitments that broader administration must subsequently implement or walk back. The bottom line, the arithmetic of decline. The March 2026 arms deal to Gulf states, viewed in isolation, appears unremarkable, another multi-billion-dollar transaction in a region where such sales are routine. Viewed systemically, it reveals the exhaustion of the American-led Middle Eastern security order. The United States is simultaneously selling weapons to partners to defend against threats, requesting $200 billion to fight those threats directly, and undermining the alliance structures that made both activities sustainable. This is not strategy. It is a series of tactical responses to immediate pressures that collectively accelerate strategic decline. The fundamental issue is that American commitments now exceed American capacity, and this gap is widening rather than closing. The defense industrial base cannot surge production to replace depleted stockpiles while fulfilling foreign military sales. The fiscal position cannot sustain $200 billion supplemental requests atop $1 trillion base defense budgets indefinitely. The alliance architecture cannot withstand repeated American demands for support in operations undertaken without consultation. Something must give. History suggests what gives first, the periphery. Britain did not suddenly abandon empire. It gradually discovered that peripheral commitments, Suez, east of Suez, bases in Cyprus, became unsustainable and were shed in succession. The United States appears to be entering a comparable phase in the Middle East. The Iran operation may achieve tactical military objectives, but it accelerates strategic retrenchment by exposing the costs of hegemony as unsustainable. For investors and policymakers, the implication is stark. Position for a world where American security guarantees are less credible. Regional actors pursue independent military capabilities and hedging strategies, and the Middle Eastern order fragments into competing spheres of influence. This is not anti-American bias, it is arithmetic. The numbers do not work, and pretending otherwise just delays the reckoning. Plaquemines' falsifiable prediction. By December 31, 2026, at least two of the following will occur. 1. Congress will appropriate less than $150 billion of the requested $200 billion Iran supplemental, forcing Pentagon budget cuts or redeployment timelines. 2. Saudi Arabia will announce a major arms purchase from China, France, or Russia, signaling hedging away from exclusive American dependence. 3. The U.S. will begin formal negotiations for a phased withdrawal from Iraq and Syria as part of a broader regional settlement. Or, 4. At least one Gulf state will establish or restore full diplomatic relations with Iran. Any two of these outcomes will confirm that the regional order is restructuring away from U.S. hegemony regardless of tactical military success. The March 2026 arms deal will be remembered not as evidence of American power projection but as a milestone in its diffusion, the moment when arsenal diplomacy revealed itself as an inadequate substitute for the strategic solvency that once underpinned it.